the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CarsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site. With me for the second show this week is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation site covering the Arizona Cardinals, and of course, one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast, a podcast that you should be listening to, especially this time of year, with the Combine, with the draft coming up in a couple of months. If you don't follow them all college football season, now you can get your fill of draft information. In this episode, Seth, I'm glad that you often don't do the second show with me, but I'm glad to have you on again. We've got the coaching staff announced, but that's not what we're going to talk about because we kind of talked about stuff that already, but we can actually talk about the roster, can't we now?
Yeah, we can, and kind of look at what they need to do and maybe what comes next for them, right?
Yeah.
It's the fun time of year where we can speculate and then we recalibrate after free agency again.
The Combine is already underway with drills and things happening that'll wrap up at the beginning of next week. And then soon after that, free agency will be around. And so we want to talk about on this edition of the show, not necessarily whom on the roster they should re-sign, let go, whom they should cut, things like that, or even free agent targets. We're going to go through position by position and talk about the sort of like how great a need is that position, how critical is addressing that position, and the type of need they have. Do they need a backup? Do they need a starter? Do they need depth? And in that sense, they will have some sort of need at every position naturally. So let's get started. We want to talk about first quarterback and running back and receiver. So we look at the quarterback position. Kyler Murray is going to be out all offseason, in probably a few games into the season. Colt McCoy is coming back from some procedure that we don't know about. I'm guessing it is probably related to his – it might be related to his neck. He was on the neck injury report late in the year for a neck before he had the concussion. But he'll be limited in the offseason. David Blau is a restricted free agent, I believe. And as far as I can tell, Trace McSorley is going to be an unrestricted free agent, and I don't think anyone's going to try and bring him back. But that said, how important is addressing the quarterback position this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, we talked a little bit about Jacoby Brissett, and it would tell us about where they are at mentally with what or where Kyler is and what Kyler is going to be doing if they bring in Brissett or not, right? Because Brissett is a guy that you're looking at in the 8 to 8+ game world, whereas McCoy health is an issue, obviously, but like if he can be ready for the start of the season and you're only expecting Kyler to miss 3, maybe 4 games, you go with McCoy, right? But if it's going to be 8+ games, we've seen that Colt McCoy, you know, God love him, good backup, he's just not that guy. Like, that's just not where he's meant to flourish, and so you would probably bring in somebody else. Now, you know, Kyle Odegaard talked about it on Twitter the other day. Brissett really played himself probably into a starting role this year for a number of teams. I mean, you've got the Houston Texans, unless they draft somebody. You know, you've got the Indianapolis Colts who, you know.
Or even if they do, even if they draft somebody.
Right, exactly. So those situations all kind of lend themselves to probably being a better chance for him, because while they may be drafting a young guy, it could be 1 to 2 years. Whereas with Kyler, you know, he's taking over as soon as he gets back, right?
Like, yeah.
There's no question. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch, because I think more than anything, the McCoy situation is going to tell us what they need to do this offseason Because if McCoy is not going to be around and be healthy for the start of the year, then they have to bring in somebody. And at that point, you would feel almost like it's got to be through free agency, right? Like a veteran.
Yeah.
That you can't come into the season with a mid-round pick that you're starting. Unless you really, and again, this is a new staff, so we don't even know what they're going to think of David Blau. But unless they believe in David Blau, obviously, I think he and Dave Sears had some overlap in Detroit. So, you know, if they believe in Blau and they can go get a guy like a, who's the kid I'm thinking of out of Houston, Clayton Toon, on day three, with that one of those extra comp picks, you go do that. And if you're comfortable with Blau and McCoy's not going to be there, right? If you're not comfortable with Blau, then you go and, the names are, let's be honest, they're not pretty, right? Like they're not guys, but you're looking at it in a sense of giving you what? Hopefully no more than 7 games.
That's kind of the hope. And for me, you look at the position, I don't call it a critical need, but it's definitely an urgent need. First and foremost, they need bodies. They need bodies on the roster when off-season workouts begin. They need bodies in the meeting room. Now Kyler's going to be there in the meeting room. He's gonna be here this offseason. That he's got a lot of money in bonuses tied up on that. Plus he's got his rehab. I'm sure he's going to want to be part of the classroom part of everything that is happening. The Colts situation is interesting because, we kind of discussed how much do they want to put into that, how much money do they want to put into the quarterback room. Are they just going to bring in a low-end backup with experience in the system, like someone that, the Cleveland's backup or Philly's backup, not even like a Gardner Minshew, but someone who can get reps and be capable until Colt's ready and who can take all of the first team training camp reps.
Let me throw a couple names at you. Case Keenum.
He's always fine. I mean, we had him pegged as a Cardinals backup back in 2019.
Right. Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush wouldn't be bad. He wouldn't be.
Now the question is, does he, get away? But who is the next guy I had on here? Where did it just go? Teddy Bridgewater.
Not
bad.
You
think he's going to get a chance to start somewhere?
I don't think so.
Okay. And then the last one would just be if you went and grabbed, Josh Dobbs. He was there with Monty Austin for it. You obviously know he's not a guy that's going to win you games, but he wasn't terrible in those games either, right?
Right, and that's kind of the thing, is that they made it sound like McCoy's injury wasn't any big deal. It's just a matter of who'll be losing some offseason reps. So if you need someone who knows the system and can hold things down in the spring, the shorts part of the offseason until McCoy can get back, any guy works. It just becomes critical who's taking those reps in training camp, basically.
Yeah, and that's what it will come down to, right? Is like how the offseason plays out. Who one of the guys that's going to be there is going to be a name we've never heard of, like a Jared Guantanamo last year, right? Like that guy's going to be there and throwing the ball unrelentingly. But from there, it just becomes, like you said, it just becomes interesting to kind of follow along with it.
Let's look at the running back position. You have your starter in James Conner. Are they going to go with the one back kind of scenario, the dual back? Petzing comes from a team that had two capable, one great and one pretty good in Kareem Hunt, who's also a free agent, but you don't know what they think about this. This regime, you don't know what any of them think about Keontae Ingram, because you don't have the same guy that drafted him, and you don't have the same coaching staff. So that'll be interesting. I would think that running back is a little, it's not urgent, it's needed, but it's not urgent. I think they will address it, but I don't think it's a critical need. I don't think it's an urgent need, but it's needed, but it's something less than urgent.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where they're probably a little strapped, specifically because we don't know, you know, well, one, they can't move on from James Conner at this point. And so it wouldn't be shocking to see them address running back. But like you said, for the fans and for us, it doesn't feel like a need that they need to worry about at this time.
Right, right. And it's like every position has need because you need some depth, but at least right now it's not urgent. It's not critical. Quarterback is urgent, and there are some positions we're going to come across that are critical. Like the running back is in it. They will address it, but it's not like, oh gosh, who's going to be at the running back position? It's going to be James Conner.
Well, but you also have to remember, we talked about it last night a little bit, right? That they one, can't address every position this offseason, but two, that they don't necessarily agree with how Steve Keim or
right?
Vance Joseph or Cliff Kingsbury evaluated a player either, right? So every position could be critical because we don't really know what they actually think of those players. And
yeah.
So, you know, but to your point, like from the names and the makeup of who is in there or salary wise, who is in there, that the running back position falls a little lower.
Yeah. Wide receiver, I would say, is the level of need at receiver is undetermined. As currently constructed, you feel pretty good. You've got D-Hop, you've got Hollywood, you've got Rondale Moore, which is what they were counting on last year and didn't get a single game of having all three players there. That's the unfortunate thing there. But until they make a decision on DeAndre Hopkins and his future with the team, but as currently constructed, it is, to me, simply an undetermined need right now. Is if the roster looks like it now, it's not a great need at all. They just need depth. They need depth. They always need to add stuff, and it'll be interesting to see how that moves forward. Obviously, Robbie Anderson is not going to be paid $12 million to be on the Cardinals roster. We can guarantee you that. That said, wide receiver position to me is basically tabled right now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, you know, I was talking to some buddies that are big Ravens fans, and they're like, we hate, and this is a little, you know, different, but they're like, we hate this mock draft season because none of these mock drafts get us excited about a player because it just kind of all feels the same. And I responded to them. I said, you guys are in a similar boat to what the Cardinals are, obviously in a different position, because until you have clarity on Lamar Jackson, like, nobody really is comfortable making a call on what the Ravens are going to do. And it's kind of similar with the Cardinals, right? Like, the Cardinals don't really need a wide receiver because they have Hopkins, Brown, Moore, Dortch. Like, those are, I mean, if you go into that season with those are your top four, you're like, stacked room, right?
Right.
But as soon as you take Hopkins out of the situation, you're like, wide receiver is probably a need, right? Like, so it's just, it's one of those odd situations where you're like, I don't think it's a need, but I also don't know. We're going to play it by ear as this continues to go along, and hope that we get some clarity shortly.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best our Cardinals talk on the web. We'll be back talking about kind of the big guys, tight ends. So the bigger guys of the skilled players, and then the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on to the next position group that we can discuss. That would be the tight end position. Obviously, we've got Zach Ertz coming back from an ACL tear. Hopefully, he will be available near, if not to start the year, or near unto it. kind of the timing of when that happened. If you're looking kind of the Carson Palmer timeline, Ertz could most certainly be back. It is a little bit different for a quarterback than it is to say for a tight end who has to do a lot more things as a blocker, having to put his body on big guys and then run and make cuts and sprint down the field as opposed to just, you know, drop back and throw passes. They got Trey McBride. I am hoping that this coaching staff views as a talent worth keeping around. And so I would say that the tight end position in terms of a need is secondary.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, and one of the things that you and I had talked about previously, obviously, is that the Max Williams situation, right?
And he's going to be a free agent, and
I think he's going to retire.
I mean, the guy can't walk right.
Right. And so, you know, I think, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. I think there was a report that he's having drop foot issues still. Like, we're what, a year post-op already? And so for those of you that don't know what that means, basically it means that like the nerve in his foot, like Jess is saying, is like basically, or the nerve in his leg, the upper leg to the lower leg, is causing issues where he's not able to control it like you and I normally would. And he was trying to play through it and work through it and everything. And so if that is true, if that is real, then it's not likely that we'll see him at all, right? Like, he's...
like, he basically gutted through last year.
Right. He should definitely... and we're big Max Williams fans on this podcast, so this is not anything negative. Like, he just needs to be done.
Yeah.
At that point. And so that, you know, and then with the Ertz thing, I think a day three guy... but you also have to remember, this is probably the best tight end class maybe ever in terms of prospects.
Right. You got Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. He's flashy, but not spectacular. Like, he does everything well. Like, he's a great prospect.
Right.
You got Dalton Kincaid out of Utah. And what's interesting about him, and Daniel Jeremiah says he's like Zach Ertz plus.
Yep. And then you've got guys, you know, Luke Musgrave, sounds like a country singer, but is actually a really good tight end out of Oregon State, who's going to blow up the combine. You know, you've got guys all over the place. So it's really just about figuring out, and that's the thing too, is, you know, will this be a heavy two tight end offense? Because obviously McBride and Ertz, ideal, but if Ertz is going to miss any significant time,
well, then the thing about the tight end position is that now, if you can do Ertz McBride and be special, like what the Patriots did with two tight ends for a while, or they have the right, kind of what they have Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith now, but even if not, you go with McBride and random blocking tight end that you have on most rosters. Ross right. Dwelly or right. any guy that plays tight end, because they're all over the NFL and you've probably never heard of them, but you're like, oh, that's the other tight end who doesn't catch passes.
Well, and I think to your point, I think that's where you go get probably a guy like with that, what is it, like the 98th pick or whatever it is, you know, that first pick in the compensatory round.
There's a couple of free agent tight end Browns, that Pharaoh Brown and who's the other guy? Jesse James, who
could make sense as well. Yeah. And then even like a Garrett Griffin out of Detroit, right? That was with Sears. So like all those guys. And what about Philly? I didn't even look at Philly. No, they don't have any. Okay.
Offensive line, critical need. Critical need. The Cardinals have DJ Humphreys and their left guard, free agent, Justin Pugh, free agent, Rodney Hudson, we don't know, right guard, Will Hernandez, free agent, Then you've got Kelvin Beachum, free agent. Josh Jones probably is going to start somewhere. Who knows? But that the offensive line is critical. There's no way around it. They have to address that position. And if they don't, like, they do have guys on the roster. Like you've got Marquise Hayes coming off the injury, but what does this coaching staff think of him? You've got Lasita Smith. He was on the show last week. He wants to be a starter. But I mean, he's unproven. He's got one NFL start to under his belt and now will be in a new offense. And so you look at how the offensive line is currently constructed, you can't say anything other than critical need, critical need.
Well, and it 1,000% is. Let me ask you this, though. With how high, and obviously, again, completely different coaching staff, but with how high the guys were on Marquise Hayes, do you think that matters, or do you think because it's a brand new staff, it just does, it can't matter at this point?
Well, I mean, you don't have the guy that drafted him. You don't even have the same position coach, and you don't have the same coaching staff. I think, yeah,
probably, I mean, can't matter, right?
I don't think it can matter. They're gonna, everyone, especially those young guys draft. Like when I was talking to Lasitas, as one thing is like you notice is like these guys drafted last year. They have to completely prove themselves because the organization, basically the team that they are on, didn't draft them anymore.
Yeah, and that's why I was curious to get your opinion on it. So, you know, you run through the names, right? You've got tackles that could be interesting if they don't bring back Kelvin Beachum. Andre Dillard from the Eagles, you know, he was a first-round pick. And then their seventh-round pick ended up being a really good starter, so he's available. You know, the guard position, like you said, it's the interior offensive line basically is a coin flip at this point. We have no idea. You know, Dan Skipper and Evan Brown, both out of Detroit. You've got Isaac Ciumulo, the starting guard out of Philly, and then Aaron Brewer and Nate Davis out of Tennessee. So, I mean, there are names there, obviously. And then the center position, which is going to be really interesting, I think, for all of us to kind of follow along with, right, how that works out. But Ethan Pochick, the Brown center, is available. You know, it would probably make sense. And then Corey Levin, who's with the Titans, not their starter, is available as well. So, like, a lot of veterans that have connections to the Cardinals new staff that would all make sense. And none of them are gonna, like, none of them except maybe like Nate Davis or Ciumulo are gonna break the bank, right?
Yeah, probably not, but nonetheless, critical need. And defensive line, it's going to be very interesting. Defensive line. That is, I know they're going to prioritize it as critical, but it's sort of urgently critical. I don't think it's hit critical, but it's probably slightly more than urgent to me. You get Zach Allen back, it changes a lot of things, especially since they are probably going to look more like a more traditional 4-3. And now they've got bodies there. If they bring back Zach Allen, you've got Zach Allen and Cam Thomas who can play the edge. Marcus Golden, whether they would use him in the rush linebacker position like Hassan Reddick in Philly, or would they would put him on the defensive edge like he was there like he was here in Arizona in 2018. You've got the two interior guys in Leckie Fotu and Rashard Lawrence. The coaching staff, the previous coaching staff, and evaluators loved Rashard Lawrence. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, and Leckie Fotu has been basically just a guy, but the sort of player that flashes every once in a while, and because of his physical ability, kind of looks like a guy who could be a late bloomer. And so, you know, I'd say it's not quite critical, although it will be prioritized. We do know this, that they're going to prioritize that defensively, because that's, if they can get guys who generate pressure without blitzing, that is sort of how they're defensively going to build things. So it's something more than critical, but not, I mean, sometimes something more than urgent, but not quite critical in my eyes.
Well, and I think it depends on what you're looking at. I think, you know, the names that kind of make sense that are out there, critical would be the interior defensive line. Obviously, it's a little different right now because Gannon, we talked about Philly on offensive side of the ball, but like they have no connection to the Browns on the defensive side of the ball. So you don't, you know, so now all of a sudden you lose some of that. But like you look at the defensive side of the ball with where their connections are, and there's a couple names that jump out right away, and they're not the big names. I mean, obviously Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave from Philly are like the ideal guys, right? But there are two names to keep an eye on that make a lot of sense. And that's, the first one's Isaiah Buggs out of Detroit. He's a fourth year guy. So he's going into his fifth year, and he started 13 games last year for the Lions, played 67% of the snaps. And he's one of those kind of gritty interior guys. He only had one sack, but he had 46 tackles, 10 quarterback hits, like career year. And he's only going to be 27 this year. So like first year free agency, you know, coming from Detroit where Dave Sears was at, they'll, you know, kind of similar kind of defense, right, that you're talking about. The other guy that makes a lot of sense from Tennessee is, and I'm going to butcher the name, so I apologize ahead of time. I don't know if it's Tyer or Tier or how they pronounce it, but Tart, the defensive lineman. So he's a third year, or he's a three-year guy going into his fourth year. So he's a restricted free agent. So he's going to be an interesting case. But he played in 16 games, started 16 games, played right around 50% of the snaps. So, you know, again, another 27-year-old that does the dirty work on the inside, you know, 1.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, that's it. But he had, you know, he was a big part of that Tennessee front and that defense, and really, you know, kind of improved the last couple of years. So guys like that, right, are the ones that you're like, okay, because they're not, we just talked about the offensive line guys, they're not going to break the bank. You know, they're not the guys that are going to cost you, you know, 12, 14 million a year. Whereas like a Fletcher Cox or Javon Hargrave, that's probably what you're going to pay for one of them, right? Like even though Cox is now in, you know, he'll be 33 this year and Hargrave is 31, those guys are still going to command $10+ million.
Yeah, totally.
And whereas like getting like a Tart and a Bugs, that might cost you $8 million combined, right? And so that's kind of what you look at in this case and see how it works out. Those are just names to know, but like guys that have been in organizations with the decision makers that moved up, that kind of impressed. You know, you mentioned like Rashard Lawrence and Lucky Fotu, right? Like if Lawrence had been healthy, he would be a guy that, you know, if the Cardinals staff or like Adrian Wilson, right, would be like, hey, I want Rashard Lawrence in Carolina. Like he's a free agent. Go get him. Bring him here. You know, that's the type of guys that you're looking at right now.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Here podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. We're going to take our last look around the roster. We're going to look at the linebacker position, defensive backs, and specialists. That's coming up next on Rise Up Here. We're back on the Rise Up Red podcast, best of our Cardinals talk on the web. If we're going to assume at linebacker that they're going to look defensively somewhat like the Eagles in terms of personnel, because of Isaiah Simmons, because of Zaven Collins, because you could put Marcus Golden at that rush position, Myjai Sanders probably he comps to that position. The linebacker position is secondary to me. I mean, there's need, and I think they will address it because of the just.
It feels like It feels like depth, unless
it's a secondary need,
right? Unless they're going to do something that we're unaware of and like switch and maybe use, you know, maybe they're like, oh, Simmons can play the Redick role, like, you know, you and I don't know that we're talking about him in the Kaiser White role,
right?
About that the other, you know, and they're like, no, we're gonna do this, then all of a sudden you need a Kaiser White, right? But for the most part, you feel like you're okay there. I'm just going to say, though, I'm not going to be shocked if they bring in TJ Edwards. I don't know who he plays over. I don't know any of that or if all three are on the field together, but I will not be shocked because one of the biggest things, and you mentioned it with Jordan Hicks yesterday, one of the biggest things is bringing in a veteran that you are, that the coach is comfortable with as well. Right. And that would obviously be Edwards, who's called the defense the last 2 years for the Eagles, put up great numbers and just, you know, we're not saying it. We agree with it. We're not saying that's what should happen. That's just, it feels like that's what's going to happen.
Okay. Cornerback position with Byron Murphy as a free agent. You're left with Marco Wilson. That's a critical need. It's a critical need.
And they're already being tied to James Bradberry, which would make a ton of sense, right? Again, a guy that Gannon and Nick Rallis are comfortable with coming in, being the veteran presence in the room. And if your corners are Bradberry, Marco Wilson, and then you go add somebody in the draft or another guy in free agency, right? You know, you look at Tennessee, the corners that they have, or Detroit, the corners that they have. And it doesn't just have to come from those organizations, but we're just talking about guys that people are comfortable with, that have worked with before, especially with a coaching staff that's heavy in the college football ranks. That's just kind of where we're going to see how it plays out, right? But you've got guys like Amani Arorier from Detroit, Mike Hughes, you know, those guys would both make sense. Like we mentioned Bradberry, you know, and then a Terrence Mitchell is another older corner that could make sense. But like, that's the thing is with Bradberry kind of being penciled in among the NFL community, not something that you and I are saying is going to happen, but penciled in among the NFL community, it makes that need a little less. And then if you re-sign Byron, which you and I are very skeptical it's going to happen. Not because we don't want Byron back, but it's going to be hard to justify paying him what he's going to get on the free market.
Right. Right. Like the fact, though, one, his position versatility, but two, the fact that he played almost exclusively outside last year and played fantastically before he got hurt. I know the injury is going to might change the price tag a little bit, but, you know, I think he in free agency, he will be a guy who gets a surprising contract like Christian Kirk last offseason.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, you can't blame the Cardinals if they don't pursue that, right? Like at that point you go, good luck. Like we loved you. We were happy with you. It's just, really hard contract to match.
Right. He was, because he wasn't drafted by these guys. You've still got Marco Wilson on the cheap, especially if you like, and he played fairly well last year. And he's got the physical traits that you like in a cornerback. It's still, the cornerback is critical. They whatever they do with it. Safety, that's an interesting position because we'll have to know what, but as constructed, it's a secondary need unless they decide to change directions. And it's one of those things that, you know, if you listen to the show with Devon Kennard, he said one thing that is almost always typical of a new coaching staff is that they're always, in the first couple of years, as they try to build the roster the way they want it, there are talented players who get pushed out. It doesn't sound like that would be Buddha, based on, like, you know, Bonnie Ossenfort, Jonathan Gannon, and Nick Rallis, all were very, they gushed about Buddha. Could Jalen Thompson be a guy that they move on from because of fit, because of whatever? But if we're that's we don't know that yet. So as of right now, for me, the safety position is simply a secondary need.
Yeah, you just sit,
you have your starters.
Right, you just sit and let it play out. It,
and Isaiah Simmons might be a safety too. So
right, and it's almost an almost, but in a slightly different way, it's almost like the wide receiver position, right? Like,
yes,
we got to see how the other shoe drops before we make any comments about what it's going to look like or if it needs, because until they make a move or move on from, you know, like you said, doubtful Buddha or but if they move on from Jalen or something else, like, then why even speculate? Because it just doesn't feel like there's anything that they need to do, right?
No, I mean, you always need depth, guys. Always.
Right, right. You're always going to add depth every single time, every year. And, you know, it's funny, Justin and I talked about this because this is something that you have that happens every year, and the Cardinals are big time culprits in it, and not in a negative way, right? But every year, some guy from Cincinnati, like James Wiggins, blows up the combine athletically, and then your team drafts him in the sixth or seventh round, and you go,
"Yeah, he's gonna be this."
Yeah, holy cow, this guy's gonna be phenomenal. And then he's like a special teams only guy that gets cut a lot, brought back a lot, because that's just without sounding rude, those guys are a dime a dozen. Like, they're literally, it happens every single year. And so, to your point, like, they're going to draft a safety in the sixth or seventh round, and then we're gonna get excited because he's an athletic freak, and then we're gonna go, oh yeah, it didn't matter at all.
Yeah, specialists, that's a critical need. You don't want to say that, but let's be honest. They're kicker, long snapper, and punter, all free agents, and they're all old. The guys that they signed for their future contracts, Nolan Cooney hasn't punted. You know, Elliot Fry, you might know who he is, and Joe Fortunato. Now he's the long snapper. He you know, they ended the year with the former Green Bay Packers, long snapper. Joe Fortunato was the guy that followed him in Green Bay.
Well, and so this goes back to, you know, and we don't, let's be honest, we don't really look at this, but you've got Michael Badgley, who was in Detroit. That's it from that perspective. Punters.
Did Cameron Dicker... he's on a roster right now, isn't he?
He is on a roster. Okay. Yep, that's what I'm going through right now. And you've got the Tennessee long snapper Morgan Cox, but he's 37. So
well,
you're actually getting older at the position.
with the specialists, though, it's very possible we could see that trio return because Jeff Rogers, he's still here, and so he's that's a guy they know. So it's very possible they return, but nonetheless, because you have three complete unknowns as the specialists on your roster right now, all three specialist positions are critical needs. Now, obviously, that critical usually falls below the critical at other positions because you can find adequate punters and kickers, well, at least adequate punters and long snappers and kickers, if they're not good, you just burn through every few weeks, apparently.
Right. Right. And that's just what it comes down to. I mean, these are positions that, you know, you either, like you said, you either bring in a veteran that you know, or you cycle through young people until you get what you're looking for, right? Like, and we've seen the Cardinals do both. Doesn't really matter who the coach is and that, or the GM is, or who's making decisions. They've done both. And the one thing I'll say is that typically they hold on to their punters, right? Like, they usually have decent punters. So
yeah, absolutely. And with that, brings us to the end of our positional need show. We will be back again next week, and the hope is we will have two shows with the trio of myself, Seth, and Justin Higdon, basically where you can get bonus episodes of the original Draft Breakdown podcast with me asking questions. So that wraps up episode 404. We'll be back again next week. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red. Roar!